Lord, we thank you so much for Nina. Thank you for all the gifts you've given to her. And we pray this evening that the words that she speak would be only from you, Lord, and that she would really help us to unpack the Bible this evening. Would you bless her, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Thanks, Kay. I just want to encourage you to open up the Bibles in Mark chapter 1. And just so you're pre-warned, I have an awful cough. So if I start coughing, just hold your ears straight away. But hopefully, it won't be too much of an issue. But this week, I've had the privilege of reading the Gospel of Mark again. And I'm not sure if you've done it yet. But if you haven't, I encourage you this week to dive into this account of Jesus' life. It's the shortest one. It's straight to the point. It keeps on moving really fast. But I've just found myself in awe again. Who is this Jesus? He's so beautiful. The life he lived, the words, the wisdom, the way he loved every person he met. And I have found myself, as a result of that, thinking, what is it in the way I choose to live my life that I can change just a little bit, tweak it a bit, so that I can reflect more of who Jesus is? And one of the first Christian authors, Paul, who wrote quite a few of the letters in the New Testament, he wrote to the Corinthians, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." And then he wrote to another bunch of Christians in Philippi saying, have the same mindset as Christ. It's a part of the calling. If we choose to live as Christians, we're called to imitate Christ. So as we open up his word together here today, I want us to look at the passage in that way. What is it we can learn? How can this impact our lives so that we better reflect who Jesus is? But before we do that, if you turn to the person next to you and you ask them the question, how has your week been? And be brutally honest in your answer. Turn to the person next to you. How has your week been? Great. Let's gather our conversations again. A quick raise of hands. Who has had a busy week? Quite a few of us. This is my fourth autumn in Oxford, my fifth overall, and I keep on thinking, why is it that life in Oxford gets so busy through the autumn term? Whether you're halfway through an Oxford Uni term, Oxford Brookes term, or if you're the lucky teacher who has the half-term break this week, Jesus was a busy man, and he still chose to live a life that reflects who God is. So we're going to dive into the passage. There are plenty of different things we can learn. Amongst others, if you're here, you just moved to Oxford, learn from the way Jesus prioritizes to build friendships straight away. Find a friend or two that can stick with you through your time in Oxford. But let us read together. Towards the end of our passage, I think it will appear on the screens. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let's go somewhere else." So what is it Jesus does? Early in the morning, he goes to a solitary place. And the word used for solitary stems from the same word as a desert. It's a completely deserted place where the much-needed quietness and peace can be found. And all the way through Scripture, the desert is ironically also where God richly grants his presence and meet with his people. But what I want you to notice is that this description of Jesus going to be alone is placed within the first chapter of Mark. It shows something of how significant that silence, that time alone with the Father, was for him. And his friends then came. I can imagine them like running then. The word exclaimed shows some of the intensity. Everyone is looking for you. And I love Jesus' reaction. It's just as if he says, whatever, I'm going somewhere else. The beauty is, Jesus doesn't let the pressure of the business or other people's expectations impact the decisions of how he spent his time. He finds the peace and a way of navigating through that business in those moments that he spends with his father in the mornings. And our rector, Charlie Cleverly, describes it beautifully in his book, The Discipline of Intimacy, where he says, Jesus is being led out of intimacy into his day of ministry with direction and sustenance from God. Every decision Jesus makes is impacted by the time he has spent with his father. And how wonderful wouldn't it be if I could say Nina, or Aiden could say Aiden, or whatever your name is, was led out of intimacy into his or her day with direction and sustenance from God. And I personally believe that this time with God is crucial. It's a lifeline through an autumn in Oxford. I think it's the key way of finding a way of doing life where you live instead of just surviving. And I was deeply challenged reading the theologian George Sweeting, who said, if we don't maintain a quiet time each day, it's not really because we are too busy. It's because we do not feel it is important enough. Quiet time is not just a helpful idea. It's absolutely necessary for spiritual growth. You're never too busy for the quiet time with the Father. Jesus is running around. People want to see him all the time. And he still finds a way of taking that time out. And I believe that it's actually when we are at the most busiest that we need those times the most. Or at least I find if I run around, I don't talk to God in the same way through the day. I'm not able to recognize his voice. And you will see it in a few weeks' time, how Jesus later on gives an invitation to his disciples and says, come with me to a quiet place where you can find some rest. And that's an invitation for you here tonight. Come away with Jesus. Find some rest. Go to a solitary place. And this autumn, I've experienced it in such a beautiful way. I've done my best at having that quiet time in the morning. I set my alarm half an hour earlier than when I actually need to get up. And I have to admit, a couple of times I've been listening to the Bible because I haven't even been able to like sit up in my bed. I've been that tired. But the beauty is, it changes absolutely everything. If I've been worried about a situation I'm facing that day, I've gone into that situation with the Father's, with God's perspective on it. He's in control. When I've been really sad, he's given me a deep sense of joy. But the most beautiful thing is how, if I just open his word and I said, God, will you speak to me? I don't really feel like I'm receiving anything every day. But God has given me opportunities to share his gospel with at least 7 people. Whether that's the bank man who says, oh, so you're a priest. Why on earth did you choose to do that? Or the nurse I saw briefly in the hospital who went straight to the deep questions. But in every one of those encounters, something I read or that I felt God reminded me of has been key for the conversation. So from that place of intimacy with God, he prepares you as you walk out, even in ways you wouldn't expect. I just thought God didn't really speak to me this morning. It was spot on what that person asked me about in the conversation. So today, I want to encourage you to choose this pattern of life. Whatever that looks like for you, whether that looks like getting off the bus two steps earlier to spend 5 minutes walking with God, or whether it's setting your alarm 10 minutes early and read a chapter of Mark. Compared to the great big faith heroes who set their alarm at 4 a.m. like John Wesley did and pray for hours, I'm rubbish at it. But I realized my only way of living and thriving and not only surviving in Oxford this time of the year is to spend time with the Father. And in those moments, we are changed. And the situations we are facing are changed. And Leonard Ravenhill said, a man who is intimate with God will never be intimidated by men. I think we could say that every woman or every man who is intimate with God will never be intimidated by men, by Oxford, by the academic pressure, by the fear of not fitting in, or whatever else it is that you are facing this autumn. When you spend those times with the Father, you get his perspective, and it seems less intimidating. So that's the first key thing that I think we can learn from Jesus. In the midst of the business, he goes to a solitary place. We need the time on our own with the Father. But then the second thing I wanted to share with you tonight is from all the way at the top of this passage. It's super short, so if you read through a whole gospel, you might miss out on this one verse. But it's just Jesus' first healing. So it's quite big, but the verse is teeny tiny. And I thought we could read it together, because as I read it, the powers of these words just stood out to me. As soon as they left the synagogue, let's read together, everyone. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. Great. I'm going to need a volunteer for the next part of the talk. One person volunteering? It's nothing dangerous. Yes, Joe. Give Joe a round of applause as he comes up. Okay, so if you lie down over there, don't fall asleep, promise me. It's one verse, and I want us to think together, what is it Jesus does when we see him performing his first miracle? The first thing he does is that he went over to her, or him. I don't know how you feel at the end of a long day at uni, or after a long day at work, and you're on your way for dinner. I know how I feel after a morning in St. Aldate's. I'm absolutely exhausted, and I want to go home and eat. This healing is taking place on the Sabbath. We can assume that Jesus went to his friend's house to have a meal. So maybe he was a little bit hungry and a little bit tired, or more famously known as hangry. That's how I feel midday Sundays. But Jesus, even at that moment, chooses to go to her. Even when he's hungry, when he's tired, most likely, he sees the need of the other person instead of his own need. And I want to ask you here tonight, when is the last time you went to someone? Someone in need, or maybe just the one person that sits alone eating lunch day after day. Never underestimate the healing power of going to the one person that is on his or her own. The other thing Jesus does is they reach out his hand. Again, it's a powerful gesture. Do you need a helping hand? He grabs her hand and helps her up. I would never, ever be able to get Joe up in my own strength. And that's the beauty. Thank you, Joe. Round of applause for Joe. And that is the beauty of this first healing miracle. It's a hand reached out. But Simon Peter's mother-in-law, chooses to accept the offer for help. She chooses to trust Jesus, and she chooses to stand up. That's the way we are called to imitate Jesus. Not in the way that makes the other person relying on us, or just because I feel good, I want to go and help someone. Jesus meets this woman, we don't know if they met before, reaches out a hand, helps her up. She stands up and she starts to serve them food. There is no one way Jesus meets people, but he always leaves them feeling worthy. He gives them dignity. Who is it you can reach out that helping hand to today? And I was trying to come up with a story to illustrate this point where someone reaches out a hand and helps someone in a way that does make them dependent on continuing to receive that help. But I reckon you've got examples in your own life. For me, the one thing that stood out was my first year at uni. Can't believe it was about 10 years ago already. I'm terrified by that fact. I studied economics. It wasn't the best topic for me. And I struggled quite a bit in quite a high-achieving university. I didn't understand it. But I still remember one person who said, "Do you want to sit down and look at it together?" He spent 1 hour with me. That 1 hour enabled me to do well at my exam. 10 years later, I remember his hand reached out to help me. One time that enabled me to do well. It's the power of kindness in action. And in Luke 4, we hear this same story, and it sounds more like a regular healing miracle. But tonight I felt drawn to this one verse. Because it doesn't just teach us about an actual physical healing taking place. Yes, Jesus can heal also today. But it shows us the healing power of kindness and the simplest way that we can imitate him. So, two basic things we can learn from Jesus. Seek God. Go to a solitary place. And secondly, reach out the helping hand. But that's the gospel. The gospel is basic. You're loved. So love God and love others. That's what Jesus did, and that's what he's teaching us to do. But I think in Oxford, both of these two actions might be harder than we expect. Because in a city where we run around all the time, it takes some courage and an active decision to choose to spend time in silence on your own with God. But in a city where we all try to be the best, it's also a brave move to choose to reach out that helping hand, investing in someone else, that might thrive and do better than you, just because that's the biblical way, just because that's how Jesus chose to live his life. But can you imagine, in a city like Oxford, where so many are so lonely, the impact it would have if all of us this week chose to go to one person who's sitting there on his or her own? Can you imagine the impact it would be if we challenged the culture of Oxford, where we're all doing our best to promote ourselves and do well ourselves, by thinking, how can I help this person? And how can we together do more? So it's a physical healing that we read about. But I think God wanted to speak to us tonight about the healing power of kindness. The healing we can see in individuals' lives in Oxford if we choose to start to live as Jesus did. But potentially, considering how many we are, also the healing power it might have on our city. For however long you are here, you can make a difference. So you want to choose to live like Jesus did. As I land the sermon now, if we just all close our eyes, come away with me to a lonely place where you can rest. Just spend a moment talking to God. Maybe ask him to highlight one person that you should reach out a hand to this coming week.